Good to be here. Good to see everybody. All the smiling faces, the nice cool weather. It was cooler over at our place this morning than it is on this side. We've been talking since the lessons I brought in the book of Ephesians. We've been working through Ephesians. We talked about Ephesians 1, 3 through 14, which is the foundation of the church. The foundation being God the Father, Jesus the Son, and the Holy Spirit. In verses 11 through 23, he speaks of the head of the church. All the book of Ephesians speaks of the church, how great the church is as the body of Christ. In chapter 2, verses 1 through 10, which we spoke of the last time that I spoke, speaks about the basis of life in the church. It's the life which we have in the church. It's totally from our depravity to being sons of God. Chapter 2, 11 through 22. Speaks of the universality of the church. It's for everybody. We're not going to study that. We're going to jump over to chapter 3. However, we will drop back and read chapter 2, 11 through 22. Chapter 3 speaks about the function of the church, the purpose of the church, why there is a church, what is our function in life, why do we live, why do we have life, what is the church here for? In 1 through 6, he'll speak about the goal of knowledge. And then 7 down through 13, he'll speak about the use of that knowledge. The purpose of Paul, the purpose of the church. And then through 14 down through the end of the chapter, Paul will pray for strength for us to complete the purpose of that church. He says in chapter 3, verse 1, if we read that, he says, "For this cause, I, Paul, the prisoner of Christ Jesus, in behalf of you Gentiles, if so be that you have heard of the dispensation of that grace of God which was given me to youward, how that by revelation was made known unto me the mystery which I spoke before in few words, whereby when you read, you can understand, you can perceive my understanding in the mystery of Christ, which in other generations has not been made known to the sons of man, as it has now been made revealed unto the holy apostles and prophets in the Spirit, to wit that the Gentiles are fellow heirs, fellow members of the body, fellow partakers of the promise of Christ through the gospel." He starts out in verse 1, "For this cause." So he's speaking about something he had already talked about. It's for that cause that he's saying what he says in chapter 3. That cause is specifically that which is said in chapter 2, 11 through 22. Because he's talking about the Gentiles. And after he talks about our life in the church, the life that God gives us in chapter 2, 1 through 10. Then he says in verses 11 down through 22, he says, "Remember that once ye, the Gentiles of the flesh, who are called circumcision, by that which is called uncircumcision, by that which is called circumcision of the flesh made with hands, that ye were at that time separated from Christ, alienated from the commonwealth of Israel, strangers from the covenants of the promise, having no hope and without God in the world. But now in Christ Jesus, ye that once were afar off are made nigh in the blood of Christ. For he is our peace, who made both one, and break down the middle wall of partition, having abolished in his flesh the enmity, even the law of commandments contained in ordinances, that he might create of the two one new man," the two being Jews and Gentiles, "one new man, so making peace, and might reconcile them both in one body unto God through the cross, which he slain the enmity. And he came and preached peace to them that are afar," Gentiles, "and peace to them that are near. For we both have our access in one Spirit unto the Father. So then you're no longer strangers and sojourners, but fellow citizens with the saints and of the household of God, being built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Christ Jesus himself being the chief cornerstone, in which each several building knit together groweth into a holy temple in the Lord, even as we were built together as a habitation of God in the Spirit. Now he starts in chapter 3. For which cause? Because of the cause of salvation that Jesus brought. Because of the cause that this gospel is for everybody. No matter what nation you're from, what creed you're under, wherever you are, what color your skin, whatever. Jesus died for every man on the face of this earth. And he brought salvation. Paul says, for this cause, I, Paul, a prisoner of Christ Jesus in behalf of you Gentiles. He says, I, Paul, the prisoner of Christ Jesus. Paul is a prisoner in Rome when he writes this letter. Sitting in a prison in Rome, and he writes this, and the reason he's there is because he says he's a prisoner of Christ Jesus. He's not a prisoner because he's a criminal. He's not a prisoner because he's in debt. He's not a prisoner of war. He's a prisoner because of Jesus Christ, because he preached to the Gentiles. When he preached to the Jews, there was trouble. When the apostles preached to the Jews, there was trouble. But there was really trouble when Paul started preaching to the Gentiles. And because he preached to the Gentiles is what the Jews accused him of in Jerusalem. And he had to appeal into Caesar, and he ends up in the prison in Rome. It's because of this preaching. Now, as Paul often does, when he ends verse 1, he jumps off the subject. In 2 through 6, he's going to put in a paragraph explaining all this, and he will continue his thought in chapter 1, in verse 1 over in verse 7. And in verse 2 through 6, he will tell us the method of transmitting this knowledge that's so important. In 2 through 6, he will say there, if so be that you have heard of the dispensation of that grace of God which is given me to you ward. If so be that you have heard of that dispensation. A dispensation speaks of the responsibility, the administrative responsibility of to whom it's given. Usually in those days, given to the slave who was the head of the household. If you go back to 1 Corinthians 4 verse 1, Paul says there, let a man so account me as a minister of Christ and a steward of the mystery of God. The word steward there and the word dispensation from the same word. So it speaks about a steward. It's one that oversees the administration of what's put in his hands. Paul says here that the dispensation of the grace of God has been given to him. He has responsible. He has given administrative responsibility to handle the grace of God and its application to the Gentiles. That's what he's doing. He tells them where they get this from. He says, how that by revelation was made known unto me the mystery, which I wrote before in few words. By revelation, he knows the mystery. Now, revelation is a word that means to uncover something. Reveal it so you can see it. It's the same word that's the title of the book of Revelation. Same word. The book of Revelation was written so that God could uncover what he was doing amongst the brethren. It's no mystical thing, the book of Revelation. He tells you clearly what's going to take place. It's a revelation. It's a revealing, an uncovering of that. A mystery is something that can never be known, can never be found by mankind. It has to be revealed by God. We, in all of our endeavors, could never find it out. And God reveals that through his apostles and prophets by inspiration of the Holy Spirit. He'll tell you in 2 Peter 1, verse 20 and 21. He says, knowing this first, that no prophecy of the Scripture is of private interpretation. For no prophecy ever came by the will of man, but men spake from God, being moved by the Holy Spirit. It's the Holy Spirit that moves them. Without this knowledge, we are in darkness, in total darkness. Jeremiah says, 10:23, says, O Jehovah, I know that the way of man is not in himself. It's not in man that walketh to direct his steps. We are in total need of God's direction because we could never find that which he calls a mystery. God has to reveal it to us. Way back in the time of Moses, Deuteronomy 29, he says in the last verse of that chapter, which is verse 29 also, he says the secret things belong to God, but the things that are revealed belong to us and unto our sons that we may obey his laws. Paul tells us that he got everything he says by inspiration. 1 Corinthians 2, starting in about verse 9. He says, things which I saw not and ear heard not, which entered not into the heart of man. Whatsoever God revealed, whatsoever God prepared for them that love him. But unto us, God revealed them through the Holy Spirit. Because the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God. Who among men knoweth the things of a man, save the spirit of the man which is in him? Even so, the things of God, nobody knows. Save the Spirit of God. And we received not the Spirit of the world, but the Spirit of God, that we may know the things that are freely given unto us, which things we speak, not in words which men's wisdom teaches, but which the Spirit teaches, combining spiritual words with spiritual things with spiritual words. Paul says everything he said comes from God through the Holy Spirit. He said it's all revealed to mankind. And the way that we receive all this is in verse 4. He says, whereby when you read, you can perceive my understanding in the mystery of Christ. When you read, wherefore is translated from a word that doesn't mean wherefore. It means right before, face to face. Paul says, when you get face to face and read my words, you can perceive my understanding. He says, get face to face with it. Get your face down in the book. He says, when you do that, you can perceive my understanding of the mystery of Christ. Did Paul understand it? Paul says there's not a thing keeping you from perceiving everything that Paul understood. And how do you do that? He says by reading. The word reading means to make correct decisions of what's been written. It's the word that means to gather exact information. It's not just a breezing through it. He's talking about studying it. We need to get in the book. We need to stay in the book. Paul will tell Timothy later in 2 Timothy 2:15, he says, give diligence. Give diligence to present yourself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not be ashamed, handling aright the word of truth. Don't be deceived. It started with Luther, Martin Luther. As he broke away from Catholicism, he told people they needed to read the book, but he said the Holy Spirit would illuminate you. And because of that, we have in this world of what they call Christendom, a lot of people says, well, you got to have an illumination. Paul says you got to study. Because of illumination, I get illuminated this way and somebody else gets illuminated this way and we have all this mess. Paul says you get in that book and you read that book and you can perceive his understanding in the mystery of Christ. God didn't give us a book to confuse us. And Satan is out there to deceive us. Colossians 2, verse 8. Paul writes and says, take heed, lest any man should make spoil of you through his philosophy and vain deceits. after the tradition of men, after the rudiments of the world, and not after Christ. For in him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily, in whom we are made full, who is the head of all principality and power. Satan is out there to deceive us. He says, take heed. How do you take heed? You take heed by getting in the book. Peter, talking about the loving kindness of Christ, talking about the writings of Paul in 2 Peter 3:16, then he says, which he wrote in all of his epistles, speaking these same things, which the ignorant and the unsteadfast rest as they do the other scriptures to their own destruction. Peter says, get in the book. Paul said, get in the book. He said, I received the revelation of the mystery and I wrote it so you can perceive my understanding of it. And then he tells you what that specific mystery involves. He says, which is not made known in other generations to the Son of Man, is it has now been revealed unto his holy apostles and prophets in the Spirit. It wasn't made known unto the men before. It was now revealed. It wasn't made known before. It was covered up before. It was in silence before in Romans, the last chapter, chapter 16. Close to the end of it, in verse 25 and 26. Paul will say now unto him who is able to establish you according to my gospel and the preaching of the Lord Jesus, according to the revelation of the mystery, which has been in silence from times eternal, but is now made manifest. And by the scriptures of the prophets, according to the commandment of God, is made known unto all the nations, unto the obedience of faith. Paul said there, as he says here, it has been a mystery, but now it's revealed. It was a mystery all the days until the cross of Christ. And this great mystery has been revealed that we can know it. He said it's now revealed. In 1 Corinthians 1:21, it tells us there that, and seeing that by the wisdom of God, the world in its wisdom knew not God. It was God's wisdom. It pleased God so that the wisdom of the world couldn't know God. That puts everybody on the same basis. That puts everybody at the foot of the cross on level ground. It's not the wise that knows it. It's not the presidents that knows it. It's not anybody else that knows it. He says that in the wisdom of God, the world in its wisdom knew not God. It was God's good pleasure through the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. God's good pleasure through the foolishness of preaching. Well, he doesn't mean that preaching's foolish. He's talking about what the Gentiles look at it, because you get down two more verses, about verse 23. He says, we preach Christ crucified. To the Jews, the stumbling block. To the Gentiles, foolishness. But to us that are called, whether the Jews or the Greeks, Christ is the power of God. Christ is the wisdom of God. It was God revealed. It had to be revealed from God. We could not know about it. He made it known to us. He made known. And this mystery specifically that he's talking about here is the fact that the Gentiles are fellow heirs, fellow members of the body, fellow partakers of the promise of Christ through the gospel. We're not going to discuss each one of those because we're never going to get through today. But he tells us there, what he really says right there is what the mystery is all about, is the fact that salvation is for everybody through the gospel. You come to Jesus by obedience to the gospel. Now he gets back to where he started in verse 1. Verse 1 he says, for this cause I, Paul, a prisoner of Christ Jesus, in behalf of you Gentiles. He gets to verse 7, he says, whereunto Wherefore, I was made a minister according to the gift of that grace of God which is given me according to the working of His power. Unto me, who am less than the least of the saints, was this grace given to preach unto the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ, to make all men see what is the dispensation of the mystery which has been hid for ages in God who created all things. Then he'll get to us in verse 10. This is the use of knowledge. This is the use of the revealed word. Paul said he was made a minister. And he speaks about the dispensation of the grace, the dispensation of the mystery that he made known. If you remember back in chapter 1 when we were back there, in about verse 9, he says, having made known unto us the mystery of his will, according to his good pleasure which he purposed in him, unto a dispensation of the fullness of time to sum up all things in Christ, the things in heaven and the things upon the earth. Goes on to say, in him whom ye are also made a heritage, according having been foreordained according to the purpose of him who worketh all things after the counsel of his will. All dispensations are to be summed up in Christ. The Mosaical dispensation was to be summed up. It was in the preparation of everybody for the first coming of our Lord Jesus. In the Christian age, then this dispensation of time, he says that he's going to sum up all things in Christ. Our purpose today is to prepare everybody for the second coming of Jesus. Because at that time comes a judgment. There's where Paul is. He says, according to the gift of that grace of God. Paul says in 1 Corinthians 15:10, I am what I am by the grace of God. And that grace was not bestowed upon me in vain, for I labored more abundantly than they all, though I'm not I, but the grace of God which worketh in me. It's the reason Paul tells the Romans. He says, I'm a debtor to the Greek and the barbarian, to the wise and the foolish. So as much as in me is, I am ready to preach the gospel to you that are in Rome. For I'm not ashamed of the gospel, for it's the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also unto the Greek. For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith unto faith. Paul said it's all the gift of the grace of God that he preaches. He says, unto me, who am the least. Oh, he also says in that same verse, it's according to the working of the power of God. It's all by God. God's power works. Remember chapter 1 again? In verse 18, he says, in his prayer for them, having the eyes of your heart enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of your calling, what is the riches of his grace in his inheritance, what the exceeding greatness of his power in those that believe according to the working of the strength of his might. Paul said he does all these things according to the working of his power. He says in verse 8, unto me, who am less than the least of the saints, was this grace given to preach unto the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ. Unsearchable riches of Christ. We can never learn it all. That word is used one other time in the New Testament. Unsearchable. In Romans 11:33, he says, oh, the depth and the riches of both the wisdom and the knowledge of God, how unsearchable are his judgments and his ways past tracing out. We'll never know. We can search until we leave this earth. When we meet him in heaven, we'll begin to understand. His ways are unsearchable. And he says his view in verse 9 is to make all men see. To make all men see what is the dispensation of the mystery which for ages was hidden. God, who created all things. We've already talked about the fact it was hidden. But the word see is the word which means to enlighten. It's a word from which we get photo, the word phos, in the original language. It's the enlightening. Paul says that's what Jesus came for, was to enlighten people. As he stands before Agrippa in Acts 26, in verse 22, he says, having received the strength which is the helps of God, I stand to this day testifying both to the small and the great, saying nothing but what the prophets and Moses said should come. How that the Christ must suffer. And how that he first, by the resurrection from the dead, should proclaim light unto both the people and the Gentiles. Jesus came to bring light. Paul says we are light givers. Paul says to make all men see. And then he passes it on to us in 10 through 13. Now, to the intent, to the principalities and powers in the heavenly places, might be made known through the church the manifold wisdom of God, according to his eternal purpose, which he purposed in Christ, in whom we have our boldness and access of confidence through our faith in him. Wherefore I ask that you not faint at my tribulation for you, which is your glory. Unto the principalities and powers in the heavenly places must be made known through the church. God's wisdom is seen through the church. It makes the church the most magnificent thing on the face of this earth. There is nothing compares to the church. And he says this is according to God's eternal purpose, which he purposed in Christ Jesus our Lord, in verse 11. That takes care of premillennialism. Premillennialism is a lie that Satan has fed upon many people. Says Jesus come to establish a kingdom and the people rejected him. God couldn't do what he came to do. Therefore he set up a church temporarily. Come later and set up a kingdom. Paul says that's not true. He says the church through which everybody sees the wisdom of God was God's eternal purpose. He planned this church before the foundation of the world. Remember Ephesians 1, 3 through 6. Don't have time for it now. 2 Timothy 1, 9. Speaking of God, says he saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus before times eternal, but was manifest by the appearing of our Savior Christ Jesus, who abolished death and brought life and immortality to life through the gospel. God's wisdom is seen through us. God doesn't work through institutions. God doesn't work through clubs. God doesn't work through presidents. God doesn't work through courts. God doesn't work through societies. God doesn't work through anything that man holds up. God works through the church. And if anybody is ever going to see the glory of God, he's going to see it through us. We have the same task as Paul, he says, to make all men see. What is a dispensation of the mystery which for ages is hidden? God who created all things. Church is more important than the United States. Church is more important than any nation. Because our citizenship is in heaven, not in a fleshly nation. And our citizenship is in heaven. It's an eternal one. He says that in Philippians 3:20. We wait for Jesus Christ, who will fashion again the body of our humiliation to be conformed to the body of his glory. Paul prays for this to take place. That's what takes place in 14 through 21. We don't have time for it, so we'll just read it. He says again, the same thing he said in verse 1, for this cause. He says in verse 14, for this cause I bow my knee unto the Father, from whom every family in heaven and earth are named. For what cause? The cause of us to fulfill what he told us to do in 10 through 13. Make all men see the glory of God that is done through the preaching of his word. He says that you may be filled, that God may grant unto you according to the riches of his glory, that you may be strengthened with power through his spirit in the inward man, that Christ may dwell in your heart through faith, to the end that you being rooted and grounded in love may be strong to apprehend with all the saints what is the breadth, the length, the height, and the depth, and to know the love of Christ which passes knowledge, and to be filled into all the fullness of God. Now unto him who is able, listen to this statement, to him that is able to do exceedingly, abundantly, above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us, and to him be the glory in the church and in Christ Jesus unto all generations forever and ever. Amen. We are saved and live in Christ eternally. We're saved for the purpose of making all men see. The only way we can make all men see is to get in this book and to know the mystery that God revealed through the apostles, through His Holy Spirit to us, so that we can know the souls of the people that's running up and down that highway out there is more precious than all the money in the world. Everybody's going to spend eternity. Actually, that's a false statement. You don't spend eternity. You just live throughout all of it. And that's even a false statement, because there's not all of it. It never ends. When you leave this earth, you will be in eternity, either in the fires of hell or before the glory of our God forever and ever. If any man is not in Christ, he has no hope. Salvation is only in Jesus. Jesus came and shed his blood, which we talked about earlier in the Lord's Supper. And we come in contact with that blood when we're buried with him in baptism. He washes away our sins as if we never ever had them. And we live with him eternally. If you've not been baptized, you need to do so before you leave this building. If you need to come back from sin, if you need to confess sin, or if you need any special help, anything you need that the brethren here in this body, which is the church here, can help you with, come right now while we stand and sing.